Your Locked On Penguins. Your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, welcome to this Thursday, late afternoon, early evening episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Hodes. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Hunter Hodes. Follow the show's Twitter at LO_Penguins. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts a car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Today we have two very, very special guests. I originally was going to do, a couple weeks ago, I was like, you know, I'll just do a game recap then. You know, I was like, oh, figured I'd bring these two guys on because I was on their show last week. They had to return the favor. Chad and Eddie of 412 Sports Talk. Please go listen to their podcast because it is truly one of the best podcasts in the city. And, you know, I love seeing love seeing just, you know, people that aren't in like the mainstream media do these kind of podcasts. Yinzers, love their show too. And so many others that, you know, I think the two, Nick and Nick, do their Penn show as well. But Eddie and Chad, how you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. Finally getting settled down with the move, which is why you were on our show last week covering for me. You can see I've got a whole new background than the couch and white wall that I'm normally in front of. So we're getting there. We got the man cave set up, so that's what's important.
That's what's most important. that's great that you got the move done. Chad, how about you?
I'm good, man. I'm hanging in there. I'm in the process of building furniture, and I'm not the world's greatest craftsman. I bought this bookcase, and I was like, oh, yeah, it looks like that'd be simple enough, and I'm struggling. So I'm, like, watching YouTube videos trying to put bookcases together, and I bought a new dresser for my son. So I'm, like, I'm not a craftsman.
Dude.
So I might be calling in some outside help.
Don't feel too bad because the desk I'm sitting at was half built by my sister-in-law. It was so bad, I had to tap in the sister-in-law to do it. So I don't know if I should admit that out loud or not, but
I wish I was a better craftsman, but I'm just not.
Yeah, I could not do any of that at all. I'd honestly just have my girlfriend do it just because she's like really good at that kind of stuff, to be honest. She has like her own toolkit here. It's around here somewhere, and she just like does whatever with it. I don't know how to use that stuff, but I probably need to learn.
It's to the point now where I'm like, I might just send this bookcase back, and then I was online like, assembly free required bookcases. And I just have them just carry it in my house.
Yeah.
Have you seen that like now you can go, like I say this because all last week I was kicking myself for not spending the extra money to do this, but on Amazon, if you buy furniture, you can get the expert assembly added on. And I guess either someone comes to your house and sets it up, or it's already set up, or whatever. But
yeah,
it's like an extra 40 or 50 bucks. But yeah, all last week I kept telling myself, man, I really should have just spent that extra money.
And you know, speaking of building stuff, that the Penguins are starting to build something kind of right
now. That is elite level right there, elite, man. There you go.
That is what we're talking about. Four out of their last five, three in a row, but. Of course, they get the worst team in the league for the next two games. It would be Chad and Eddie. I've been saying this for like the whole week now. It would be peak Penguins to blow one of these games to the Jack Eichel-less Sabres, who is out for the next week. Taylor Hall has two goals on the season. Sam Reinhart has been good. Victor Olofsson's obviously good too. But that team is a tire fire. You have, I told you this yesterday, you have members of the Sabres media calling the team a disgrace to the general manager in a press conference. It's just, these are games they have to bank. They're in third place right now. But I think they're starting to build something here. If they win these next two games, that's six out of seven and five in a row, which, you know, I didn't know if they were going to win five in a row at any point this season.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think on our show and that's what's tough. It is. I'll say this about in defense to media people that sometimes we go after. Mm-hmm. Doing this podcast, it is – I start to see when you put an opinion out there, we do a show usually once a week. Sometimes we do more. And I'll come on there. I'll be like, I don't know, man. This Penguins team, if I'm Ron Extall, I'm selling at the trade deadline, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then they go out and win five out of six games. And I, I look like an idiot. So I will say, when you put your opinion out there for the record, it's easy for like Joe Schmo to be like, "Oh, I knew they were going to do that," and it's like, "Well, okay, sure you did." But when you're like have an opinion on the record, and then like the week later, you're like, "God damn, I was wrong." It's the thing that stuck out to me the most, and I don't always buy into like the raw stuff, but Eddie and I had Steve Mears on our podcast. And the thing that still sticks out to me today, probably more than any other guest has said on our podcast, was the day that Ron Hextall and company came to the Penguins, they had an optional skate. And Steve Mears says it was the first optional skate that every player on the team attended. He's never seen that. Usually they maybe half the team, yeah, one fourth of the team, sometimes maybe close to them, but you know, guys get their maintenance days. He was like, "I've never seen everybody there." So that tells me two things. A, these guys, I think they were happy to see the change. You can't tell me they weren't. Not that they don't like Jim Rutherford or like are ungrateful of what he did, but sometimes, especially in hockey, you just need a new perspective. We talked about that last week a little bit. And A or B, this team needed a kick in the butt. There's only so many times Mike Sullivan can say, he even says it to me sometimes, like, there's only so many times I can say, you know, we've got to play our game. We got to do this, got to do that. But now you're going, if you're a player in that locker room and Ron Hextall's coming to town, now you're going, well, my job might not be safe. So I need to get my game together. And since they made that change, they've been a better team. So there's no doubt. And the other thing is, Gino, Letang, you know, when I think people need to stop, like, to start learning not to doubt these guys. It's the same stuff every time. Gino has a bad 10 games, and it's, oh, we should trade Gino. Oh, he sucks. Oh, it's over. Well, he wants to go be the center somewhere else. And I'm like, how many times are you going to – I mean, his career is almost over. The time is ticking for this opinion to be correct. You're running out of time. Like, these guys were bound.
What? Let's get into that real quick, though. What is it with Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang that everybody seems to hate on those two? I've never understood it. That's the fine line in Penguins fandom. What is your take on Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin? And mm-hmm. It's bizarre to me because both of them are Hall of Fame players.
It's more so
both of them are just otherworldly talent.
Like a generational player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're not, I mean, if Gino is not overshadowed by Sidney Crosby, we're talking about him being, you know, one of the top players. I mean, I don't understand what it is with those two that's like such a dividing line.
As for Gino, I'm going to say something. I'm not trying to start anything. Part of it is because he's Russian.
I think that's true. I think there's truth to that.
There is that lazy. I mean, I catch like my friends and cousin and my cousins and stuff. Like when I talk sports with them, and you know, we're in a PS chat or texting about sports, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, typical lazy Malkin." And I'm like, "Typical lazy Malkin? Huh? The guy that won a Conn Smythe and three cups and an MVP and scoring titles? Lazy, typical Malkin? Like, I don't know. I want someone that says that he's lazy or any of those little xenophobic narratives to tell me that if it's not to do with it, that he's Russian or European or whatever, then why are you saying that he's lazy or a typical this or typical that?
And I think the thing with Chris Letang is everyone in the fan base, or a lot of people in the fan base, excuse me, have to overanalyze him. Oh my God, he did this so bad and was just a minor mistake or something like that. You know, you don't have to take it to the extreme like a certain someone does. I'm not even going to utter his name.
Real quick, are we all blocked now?
Yes, we are.
Okay, because yeah, I just checked
you
the
just
other
didn't
day.
Make the you weren't cool enough to be included in his stalker painting that he drew.
Oh yeah,
me.
Yeah, I was. Just yeah, and you weren't cool enough to be in that.
But my little rant I went on got me. I think I am now. I think I he I'm disciple 14. So
okay, yeah. You're yeah.
Because he clipped a little bit of the one of our podcast episodes.
Oh, well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And he, you know, he said, I think he said something about me needing my mouth washed out with soap because I called him a dick. But
well, you know, If he ever listens to this, get out of the Penguins fan base, buddy. No one likes you. but
Hunter, with a Tang, the one thing I'll say is, so again, when we got to remember that we talk with Pittsburgh sports fans. So they generally are only watching Penguins hockey. There's not, I would say maybe 80% of Penguins fans that watch Pens games aren't going and watching Calgary versus Minnesota the night. There's some of us that do, right?
Yeah.
So they don't see – they see Letang all the time, 82 times a year. So that's what they see. They see the turnovers. They see this and they see that. But they don't see that the other defensemen that play that same way, that play that those minutes – they turn a puck over too. They don't see that. It's the same thing with like Ben Roethlisberger when he throws an interception. They're like, Ben always throws interceptions more than other quarterbacks. And then it's like, well, I went on the stats and he actually doesn't throw more interceptions at quarterbacks. But your perception of that is that he does because you watch him and see him more than anybody else.
Yeah. And I think people should have like more respect for him. Like I've been on record on this podcast saying, he is the best franchise defenseman in this team's history. Like, I mean, yes. Obviously Paul Coffey played here, but he wasn't their franchise defenseman. He was here for 4 years.
And Paul Coffey wasn't that good on defense either. Nope. So I don't know where that's coming from.
He played like a forward a lot of times. But, I mean, Chris Letang is this team's best defenseman in their franchise history. And he's done so much with the three cups. I go back. My favorite memory is staying up way past my bedtime when I was 11 years old and seeing the Letang overtime winner against Washington. And that was just right then, like you knew he was just going to be special for the rest of his career because he was taking over for Gonchar. And then his 2016 run has the best run I've ever seen of any defenseman. I mean, now up until Victor Hedman from this year, Hedman
right.
was on another level. But.
Yeah, I went when I recently went back and watched the DVD from that cup run. You know, a lot there was like the Kessel Crosby Conn Smythe argument, yep. But if Letang doesn't get suspended and doesn't have a rough game, he had like a really rough game 4, I think it was against Tampa. He was like -4 or something like that. But outside of those two factors, there was a strong argument for Chris Letang to be the Conn Smythe. I mean, yeah. That series that he played against San Jose is so underrated as far as championship performances go. He was on both sides of the rink. If you don't like Chris Letang, you don't think he plays good defense, go watch the Penguins versus Sharks Cup Finals and watch him display some of the best two-way hockey you'll ever see.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. And, you know, part of the reason I think that he's playing so well since the last couple of weeks, you know, we recently got Brian Dumoulin back, and he has been I said it on my podcast earlier this week, Chad and Eddie, this is probably the best I've seen Brian Dumoulin play since 2018. The skating is just – that's 2017-2018 level. His passing, his playmaking, getting the puck out in the defensive zone, his work on the penalty kill looks great. If he's going to continue to play like this, you know, this just makes the team obviously so much better. And they get closer to being that cup contender. They're still, I think, a couple moves away overall, especially at the forward position. If they can, you know, obviously they'll get Zucker and McCann back, but if they can make a move for another player to play on the McCann line, or maybe a move on the top six to move Kapanen down a little bit, we're in business. It's up to Ron Hextall to do it. But Brian Dumoulin, what a few games he's had, for sure.
Speaking of that, the name I keep seeing and the name I keep hearing is Rickard Rakell.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on him? I love him. I think he would fit our system perfectly. I'd love to see him. And I know you just said to knock Kapanen down, but I would actually fill Rakell if we were to get someone like that. I'd have him slot at the third line. Because I'm not messing with what Kapanen's got going on right now, what chemistry he's been. Yes. Let that run out, man, because that dude is – he's on a different level right now than what I think any of us expected him to be.
Yeah, his underlyings are ridiculous. I think Danny from Penn's Blog had an article the other day basically saying they're like shooting 17% on the 5v5 when Kapanen's on the ice. Probably not going to hold for a whole season.
No, yeah.
But, I mean, he's on pace for 67 points, I think, in an 82-game season. That's
– Which, pretty, when yeah. when the trade happened to get him back, I think we all agree 60-point pace would have been more than acceptable. You know,
I mean,
second line winger, you know, to get 60 points out of him, I that's great.
Yeah, I'll still contest it. I think Jim Rutherford did that thing where he was like he's like what the Democrats do. He was like bidding against himself, basically. I still think he could have got him without a first round pick, but that's semantics. The chances of a first round pick turning into a 60 point player isn't exactly that great anyways, so it is what it is. Going back to Dumoulin though, I was worried. We talked about this with Jesse, like before he just came back. Going back, like, he was not good. Even before he got injured, I did not recognize that version of Brian Dumoulin. He made you expect him to be the guy that's not going to make the glaring turnovers or the defensive lapses, and he was not bringing that.
Chad, what? I remember talking to Bob Pompiani a few weeks ago the Penguins should do at the deadline, you mentioned Dumoulin's name, and Bob and I agreed with you.
Yeah,
that might be a guy to let go at the deadline, the way things were looking a few weeks ago.
Right, and it always changes. But now, if you can go, if Letang and Dumoulin are going to be what they were, or even a shell of that in 2016, then you go, okay, no, that's our core on defense. If anything, if you're looking to move one of those left-handed guys, Pettersson's probably the guy to go, because you're not going to. No one's taking Matheson. That's just going to be a hole that's going to have to be there for a while. But I'm still worried about Pettersson's play. I'm not seeing very much consistency in his game. Him and Marino have been disappointments, although Marino's probably played his best hockey recently. But, yeah, if Dumo's going to be what he's been and continue to get better, he was jumping up. There was a couple plays where he was really noticeable where he jumped up right away. Yeah. He's so good at making that initial transition pass, and that's such a underrated thing with defensemen that doesn't get enough credit. Where sometimes that simple just one up pass to get the transition going, that's all you need. And I remember we were arguing with people about Jack Johnson. They're like, oh, he's not paid to do this or do that. What do you mean? That's literally a defenseman's job, is to get that puck from this zone into this zone. And Dumoulin's just so good at that when he's on his game. And you've seen evidence of that. The goal that Crosby scored was evident of Dumoulin getting that puck. He right out of the zone into the forwards. They score. So when he's playing that well, this team is going to be hard to beat. Especially if John Marino is going to come back to life, I'm starting to get optimistic again.
Yeah, and Dumoulin just lets Letang be himself. You know, P.O. Joseph couldn't do that. Marcus Pettersson's obviously not going to do that. No, I'm glad you mentioned Marino. He's the last few games, it's been a lot better. You know, he was kind of looking washed early on in the season. Not pretty. Another one, you know, Chad, I think he's proved everyone wrong. Cody Ceci. I don't know what I'm watching every single night from this player. It's like they took him from Toronto, put a different body inside him, and then just said, okay, now you're going to go play. And, like, I look on natural stature and everything. And, you know, we'll get to the Rickard Rakell thing in the next segment, just right after this, Eddie, just to finish that up. But it's like, I don't know what defenseman I'm watching right now. This is the defenseman.
It's unreal, man.
He's just
unreal.
Clearing the puck out. And
I remember when we signed him, snapping out. Marissa was asking what was wrong. You know, she's like, she's like, I think we were in the car. And I was like, you gotta be kidding. I'm like screaming. She's like, she's looking at me. She's like, is everything okay? I was like, they just signed Cody Ceci. And she was like, what does that mean? And I was like, great, here we go with Jack Johnson again. And, you know, obviously, even before the season started, having time to like sit back and like, you know, look at everything, the money that they signed him for was small enough to where it's like 1 point something a year.
1.1, I think.
Yeah. So it's small enough to where it's not a huge deal. If he did stink, and he isn't Jack Johnson, as bad of a player as he was, when Toronto did shield him, when they did protect him and give him third pairing minutes, he wasn't awful. He wasn't worth what his contract was in Toronto, which I believe was $4.5 million a year. But he wasn't terrible. And so that $1.1 million a year really makes him a much more palatable player regardless. But he's been playing, like you said, it's a different player completely. I just think this system fits him well.
And Cody Ceci is proof enough that stat people or metrics people don't have a personal agenda against anybody, because
yes.
Cody, everybody was against the Cody Ceci signing for the most part from the people that I follow, especially. They were like, yeah, what the hell are they doing there? And now everybody's like, yeah, Cody Ceci's been competent is the word that I would probably use. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I thought metric people like were going to be not me because I'm not the guy that like formulates it. I just use it as a reference tool. But that the community, that's the thing about this data is it. There's no arguing with it. It's not like you look at the numbers and go, oh wait, so he actually is making the Penguins better when he's on the ice. That's a lie. I don't want to see it. Like no, it's like yeah, Cody Ceci, he's not hurting the Penguins and. Actually, like I'm on hockey stat cards right now, which tracks their per game, like how well they're doing per game. And he's second on the team as an average score behind Letang. So Letang and Ceci have been their two best defensemen this year per game. That's like, here's the thing. Like, he's competent enough that he can keep the puck in the zone. He's competent enough that he can get the puck out of the zone. And sometimes that's all you need. Jack Johnson couldn't do either. But now like Cody sees he's starting to get the confidence where he's jumping up into play and sniping. And I'm just like, what the hell? Where'd this come from? So I'm loving it. I don't mind being wrong. That's the thing. I want to be wrong. I've been wrong about a lot of guys. I was wrong about Jake Guentzel. When Jake Guentzel first got called up, I was like, I don't see it. And then I was like, well, I was wrong about that one. Like, that's good. Good for the Penguins. So I'm hoping the rest of these guys that I'm down on prove me wrong. But yeah, I don't think – I still don't – like, I'm not going to, like, throw a parade. I don't think he's anything more than what he is, and that's a third pair
yeah.
– a competent third pair defenseman who can kill penalties, and that's all he needs to be.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't mind being wrong either. I've been wrong on so many different things related to this team. I am more than willing to eat the crow. I was willing to eat the crow on Jack Johnson. Didn't happen, but
– I wanted to.
Yeah, I wanted to as well. But you know what? He stunk, and then it got annoying when everyone – you know, I'm not going to name names, but everyone just had to show for him. For no apparent reason. But yeah, he's been great. We're going to get to the more Ricard Raquel stuff right after this. But before we do that, it is time to talk about, firstly, Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up for. You can head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts, with the promo code Locked On. We also cannot forget about the Built Bar Madness. We've been telling you about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. It's the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. But now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. So today's matchup, this is great radio right now. I'm actually trying to find what today's matchup is. There's two of them today. Caramel brownie versus cherry barkia, and lemon almond cheesecake versus carrot cake with walnuts. So
gotta go lemon cheesecake there.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Gotta go lemon cheesecake, yeah. And I think you gotta go the caramel brownie.
Caramel, yeah. I think, we're on the same wavelength there.
Yeah, I think those are the two best ones. If they making sure who they play. Caramel brownie wins, they go play double chocolate. And then if the lemon almond cheesecake wins, they go play the coconut brownie chunk, because they got to buy to the sweet 16.
Is it bad that we can get really invested into this?
I know. I'm ready to make a
You can go to
Bet. I'm about to go to Bet Online.
I'm about to get a parlay going
and put a parlay on the Built Bar Madness. I'm just gonna get all of your advertisers in one shot, man.
Yeah. You can go to Built Bar, or you can go to BuiltBar.com, or go to Built_Bar on Twitter to vote, and you can use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best-tasting protein bar. All right, welcome back to this episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Hodes. Always great, you know, that people are very passionate about, you know, the Built Bars, just because, you know, I'm also curious to see, I know, who is going to be crowned the champion. But, you know, Eddie mentioned something in that last segment we didn't get to get to. That was Ricard Raquel. I did see, I think, Friedman or Chris Johnston from Sportsnet or Pierre Brunner, someone, one of the insiders said a couple teams have told him that the price is very high for Raquel, and rightfully so. I mean, this guy is a, you know, former 30-goal goal scorer twice this season. 6 goals, 19 points in 27 games. I think his shooting percentage is a bit lower this year than it has been in...
That'd be a place for the Ducks.
Yeah, the Ducks are... That team is unwatchable. Someone needs to go save poor Pittsburgh's own John Gibson there, just because he's being wasted out there to the moon. But I think Raquel would be a good addition to the team. I just don't know if they have the capital to go out and get him. They don't have the first.
Let me throw you guys an alternative, and we didn't get Eddie's thoughts on this, but Hunter, are yours as well from last week? Bobby Ryan.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, him on
Bobby
the
Ryan six. For me, not to interrupt you, but for me, yeah. Bobby Ryan is a perfect low risk, high reward. He doesn't have to come in here and be the guy. There's no pressure on him whatsoever.
He's having a good season.
He's got the pedigree to play with a Crosby or a Malkin or a Gensel or a, like he has that ceiling, that high ceiling that I think if he can get hot, boy, he could do some damage. Yeah, Bobby Ryan's a great name, man. I would love to see that.
Bobby Ryan from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, as I said on the 412 Sports Talk last week. Always fun to say that. But yeah, 13 points, 26 games on a very bad Detroit team. In 24 games last year, you know, he obviously missed due to very personal problems with alcohol stuff. He had 5 goals, 8 points, 24 games. His comeback after that, though, was incredible, very emotional. And then just 26 games this year, like I said, 6 goals and 13 points. You stick him on a bottom six line. The top six is pretty good right now. You have that Austin Reese line as your fourth line, which is one of the 5 best fourth lines in hockey. You know, some Islanders fans will tell you that the Clutterbuck Zekas Martin line is better. The 2 bad players on that line don't make it the top fourth line in hockey. Casey Zekas is good, though. But, you know, then you can roll out Jared McCann, Bobby Ryan, and Evan Rodriguez. Now we're cooking a little bit here. I like Evan Rodriguez in that bottom six role. Just stop elevating him to the
Please
top
stop
six.
Putting him in the top six. Yes. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Sullivan
it.
Always has that one player that you're just like, I was with you with everything else, but this one, I don't know if I can do it. It's like, we get it, man. You like him. He's fast. And I'm never going to be one to be like, oh, yeah, yes. You know, speed's always, you know, a good quality to have, but he does not have top six talent, never has, never will. He's a fourth line player. That's what he is.
Yeah,
I agree with that. And I mean, he's a decent face-off guy. You know that he does bring some, you know, some skills that we need. But even, you know, when I say that, talking to Sean Tierney a couple months ago, Sean Tierney said that face-off wins in his mind were one of the most overrated stats in all of hockey because they're just a glorified puck battle. So, you know, realistically, if that's the case, then all he has to offer is some straight line speed. And while speed is good, like Chad said, is that enough to move somebody to the top six? So for me, you know, we need to get somebody in there. And the thing with Bobby Ryan that I like is if you are going to slot him as a third line guy, with the Penguins and the amount of injuries that we see with them every single freaking year, having a guy like Bobby Ryan that has the ability to bump up and play with Sid or Gino on occasion is a luxury. That you can keep him on the third line, but if you need that guy to slot in your top six for 10, 15 games, you have the guy to do it. And you're not missing too much of a beat there.
Yeah. It's as long as, you know, someone like McCann comes back in a week. I think he went on IR, but I think he's only going to be there for a week or week and a half. The sooner he comes back, the better. I just can't watch the fourth line anymore. Every time they come onto the ice, I cringe with my eyes. Mark Jankowski is just, don't even know what he does. Anthony Angelo. Another player I wanted to get your guys' take on this as well. Sam Lafferty, for some reason, people in this fan base, some people that cover the team on an everyday basis, they think of him as like almost like a like back in the Bobby Farnham days or something when everyone overhyped him.
He fooled me. I'll be the first to admit it. Yeah. I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. I love the way, you know, he always looks like he's putting in maximum effort. Mm-hmm. He's always
and people Yinzers love that.
Yeah, and like I, you know, the inner Yinzer in me, it's like, man, this dude skates hard. He and then I saw. I'll tell you what flipped the script for me was again. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? We just had him on our show. You just talked about him a few minutes ago.
Jesse Marshall?
No.
Tierney?
It'll come to me. And
Dean Mears?
No, and it's going to suck because I'm going to have to tell him sorry. But he was posting stats and said something to the effect that, like, every you know, this dude's got everyone fooled. He's got
Danny.
Yeah, Danny. Yeah. Danny.
There you go, yeah.
Sorry, Danny. I love you, man. I don't know what was going on here, man. I'm running on fumes. But no, Danny was the one who said that he had a goal, what, like a goal and nine assists or a goal and 9 points in his last however many games. And, you know, all of it was in his first 10 games. Yep. So it was like, oh, okay, maybe he's not what I thought. And that is the problem with the eye test. He passes the eye test, but everything else he fails.
He hasn't even been doing that lately. I watched a shift the other night where he was – and Bobby Farnham's the perfect comparison because he was he came flying in – like the goddamn flash came flying into the zone, right? Okay, he goes for this check. He completely misses the check. It crashes into the boards, and the puck's going the other way. And I'm like, yeah, there's probably Yinzers at home. Like, yeah, he's skating, and he's got trying to hit people. But here's the thing with this, with hitting in hockey, people, the only time that it actually is valuable is if you remove the guy from the puck
and get it back to your team.
And other people are like, oh, well, if you finish a check, it wears the other guys down. I don't even buy that because these guys are professional athletes. They're not getting worn down. They don't care. Unless you're just completely crunching their bones, they don't care. But yeah, he does things that. People confuse effort with results. You can have a good worker, right? You can you can give maximum effort, but your results might suck. And that's what we're seeing here with Sam Lafferty. I'm sure he's a great guy. He's a hometown guy, but he has 17 games played, no goals, one assist, and is -8.
Yeah. For, the thing about it for me is you need – and I think this starts at a whole different – conversation about the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I'm still of the opinion that you need one or two guys on your roster that you can slot in to deal with guys like Scott Wilson or Tom Wilson and, you know, just, you know, like the meatheads of the league. Because and here's why I say this. They don't have to be on your team full time. But you have to have somebody in your system that you could put out for a game or two, because the refs have proven time and time again that they're not going to deal with it. And so I am all about speed. I'm all about, you know, getting as much skill on the ice as possible. But there is something to be said for guys that are not scared of getting their nose dirty and not scared of getting in the middle of things. And that is why when we had a guy like Patrick Hornquist, who was everything that we just said. He had some skill. He's good in front of the net. He scores goals. He's tough. He's not afraid to get his nose dirty. He's not afraid to stick up to the dudes that need to be stuck up to. And then we traded him for Mike Matheson. That's the thing that drives me nuts, because we had guys like that and we got rid of them. And so, you know, and then we went the complete other way, where you have a guy like Ryan Reeves who's in your lineup every night as a fourth liner who's just not good enough to be in your lineup every night. I remember a few years back when the Penguins, right before I think the back-to-back cup run, remember they had Tom Sestito. And the way they used Tom Sestito, though, and you guys can kill me for this if you want, he wasn't an everyday guy. They dressed him when they knew they needed to dress him. And I'm okay with that. But I'm not okay with having a guy like that taking up 8 minutes a game, 82 games a season. Does that make sense?
I see where you're coming from. I do. I don't mind. I would want a player like that, you know, who's like almost like a mini Matthew Tkachuk kind of person. You know, players like him drive a player like Tom Wilson nuts. And he has a lot of skill. Obviously, there aren't a lot of Matthew Tkachuks in the league, but you know, if the Penguins could get a player like that, like a mini version, that'd be great. And you know, I guess I was going to go into the Hornquist talk after that. You know, just what a Chad. I saw your take on Twitter the other day. What a terrible trade it's been. Probably one of the worst ones.
That one really sucks. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they already put Colton Sevier on waivers, for God's sakes. That's just. And he was like always like, we're trying to save salary. You added salary in the deal, Jim. So, but yeah, Matheson honestly is just a forward at this point. I think King Clarkie basically started that big rebellion, resistance, whatever the hell you want to call it on Twitter. But yeah, to back to your original point, Eddie, you know, they had that kind of player in Hornquist. And it sucks that they traded him away, not just for that, but just for their power play. Because
a guy like Hornquist affords you the luxury of not having to have a guy that you have to specifically plug in, you know, 5 or 6 nights a week or a year when you have to go up against the guy and send a message. And again, this is not ideal for me. I am a skill guy. I'm a speed guy. I think that the way to go is how the Penguins won back-to-back cups. Yeah. The problem is the NHL will not do anything about it. Look at what they did with Ovechkin when he hit the dude for the Bruins in the groin. It was a $5,000 fine. It was the max, you know, the max fine allowed under the CBA. They constantly do this where guys take liberties on other players, and then they just fine them. They don't give them any. I was shocked that Tom Wilson got 7 games for the hit that he laid.
Here's the thing, though. Like Vegas played Washington in the Cup final, and they dressed Ryan Reeves, and it didn't stop Tom Wilson from doing anything. Here's the thing about Tom Wilson. Here's what's frustrating when he plays against you. Tom Wilson isn't effective because he goes around taking cheap shots. The frustrating part is that he actually is not a bad hockey player.
Yeah.
So unless you're going to find a guy that is 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", that can skate and has enough skill to play in the top 6, that can do the stuff that he does, there's no way other than to making them pay on the power play to stop. You can put 3 Ryan Reeves on your team, and what's Tom Wilson going to be like? Oh, well, I guess I'm not going to go do anything today. Like, he doesn't give a damn.
But at the same time – If the refs won't police the game, you have to protect players, because what happens, it's not that Tom Wilson isn't a – it's not that the reason why you do that is because he's a productive player. It's because he's going to injure guys. Look at what he did to Zach Aston Reese in the playoffs. You know, like and to have guys that just free range do that, either the NHL needs to be real about player safety, or we're never going to get out of this loop where you have to have a guy to react to this guy and have a guy to, you know, combat that guy. It's a fundamental flaw with how the NHL's ran. It's not that I want to see the NHL go back to, you know, one designated fighter per team. I don't want that. That slows the game down. It's not fun. I want to see fast, exciting hockey.
No.
But you're not going to get that when you're not following through with discipline. And so the only other option is to make sure you have a deterrent on your own team.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't believe that I don't believe that another grown man is going to be deterred by another grown man, other than, hey, you take my superstar out, we'll take your superstar out. Well, even then, I still win with that, because I'm saying, okay, that's fine, and I'll take it. And now, to me, the best way to beat Tom Wilson is what the Penguins did 2 years in a row. Beat him on the pout when he takes a bad hit, when he hits somebody, score the goal. The other night they played them, and he took a horrendous penalty. It was a stupid hit. But guess what? They didn't score in the power play. But if they score in the power play and they win that game, now people in Wilson's locker room are looking at him going, bro, you got to stop this, because we keep losing games because you keep taking penalties. To me, that's the best deterrent.
Yeah, the big thing is, if they play them in the playoffs again and he does something like that, and he very well may, honestly, it's probably likely that he will.
Takes a major and you score like 4 goals and you blow them out, and his own teammates are going to be looking at him going, man, you got to chill, because we're going to lose.
They like the way he plays, Chad.
To a point, but I'm telling you, if you make him pay, the team will be like, listen, we can't. They're scoring power play goals. Like, you know, to me, that's better than, oh, let's put out Tom Cecito what are you going to do? Have him put his arm around Crosby the whole game and hope and be like, oh, don't touch him. Don't touch him.
No,
like,
you go after Wilson. Unfortunately, that's what
he loves. That though, he's gonna. He's
no,
gonna
he
be
doesn't.
Like,
that's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
he doesn't.
Do
he doesn't like the fight. He look at he. Any time Ryan Reeves has gone toe to toe with him, he's backed down
yeah,
or got
but
his ass whipped.
Stopped him from playing the way he plays, though.
I think it has. I think if you
he
watch
beat the hell out of Vegas,
I don't think him. It was because of Wilson. I don't think
he
it was.
A, he played a much bigger part than Reeves did.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you've got to. I always have this – it's funny that I'm on this side of the argument right now because I always have this argument with my pops. And he always talks about the human factor and that you can't – at some point in time, you can't just let dudes get beat up and get beat up and get beat up. I mean, yeah, they're getting paid millions of dollars. But I think part of the problem with the Penguins in those – the year that we lost to the Caps was they just were tired. And
down.
I think that was too long. It was two back-to-back cup runs. It was a third deep playoff run. And I just think it got to the point where the Caps knew if we beat them down enough, we're going to beat them. And we were so built for speed and skill that we didn't have any kind of answer to that. If you look at a team like Tampa, they are fast, they are skilled, they're incredible, but look at the size of their guys. Look at the dudes on their team, too. Look at Victor Hedman. Look at
look at Tyler Johnson.
One or two dudes. Every team has a couple of small guys, but they're a big team. They're also a skilled team.
Okay. Nikita Kucherov is 5'11".
Well, this has been a.
I get what you're saying.
I get what he's saying too. It's always a fun debate with this. You know, my side. You know, especially in the handshake line, you can see him, point to him, and laugh at him, and be like, you know what, your stupid ass lost you the playoffs. Yeah, literally that motion, just like just point, smile, and laugh at him in the handshake line, shake his hand, be like, hey, thanks for the series win. We'll take that, and you move on. But you know. It would kind of be in Brian Burke's also MO to go after someone like that just for, the truculence.
Hey, go trade for Matthew Tkachuk. You won't see me arguing against that.
Yeah.
And again, that the point is with, I want to make sure that I'm clear with my point. I don't want to see the Penguins go back to a bunch of bruisers. I want to see the NHL do what they're supposed to do about players.
Well, that's what we all want.
You know, like that. I would rather see them suspend guys
that
take
cheap
shots.
The 7-game suspension this time.
Finally, yeah, they finally got it right with the 7-game one.
Especially in a short season like this. Yeah,
and you know, you got the people say, well, you know, it's only Tom Wilson. It's only Tom Wilson. Well, you know, that's what happens when you have a reputation. You know, when you get Matt cooked. You know, we are obviously very aware of what happened with that. Still have more to get to for this episode. You know, we're going to touch more on some Mike Matheson talk just because he's just a chaos player every single night. Before we do that, it is time to talk about rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto body customers online for 20 years. You can go to the website to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why should you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You can go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and you can write locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That is rockauto.com. Okay, welcome back to this episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Hodes. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Hunter Hodes. Follow the show's Twitter at @LO_Penguins. So, don't have too much time here left. Obviously, you know, the game is actually getting close to starting at this point, which is funny enough. But, you know, I wanted to touch on the Mathis and stuff and go a little in depth with that. I said it earlier.
Do we have to?
Only a little bit. He is the ultimate chaos player. I think a couple people in the fan base have said he is the most entertaining player to watch on the team. Brilliant at one end at times, but you look at his defense and the lapses in his own zone, it is just like, wow. Like the lapses that we see.
The ironic thing with Matheson is everything bad anyone in his fan base has ever said about Chris Letang is actually true about Mike Matheson.
Yes. He pinches at the wrong time.
Yeah.
He loses his man in the defensive zone. That is exactly what this player does.
without the points that Letang puts up.
Yep, exactly. It's just – That trade continues to look worse and worse. And I didn't even mind trading Patrick Hornquist, too.
I wanted them to.
Great player, but 33 years old. I don't think anyone expected him to almost be putting up, what, a point per game season this year.
He's playing good hockey.
Yeah, that's been a hell of a fit. But, I mean, the contract looked bad. He's 33. But you needed to get a much better value than that. There was McKenzie.
Just get a couple draft picks. Yeah. That's what this franchise needed most. Yeah. Go look at their cupboard. It's bare, bud. There ain't nothing in there. Yeah. It's Samuel Polia. That's it.
Yeah. Why trade Patrick Hornquist because of his contract for a worse contract? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Oh no, let me speak for Jim Rutherford. Well, you gotta be fair to the other team.
Oh god, that video, man. That that video, I think, legitimately pissed me off for like a full straight hour. Just was like, you know, you should just try to get a second round pick, guys. When you do these deals, you gotta be fair to both teams. It was just like, I was like,
wait,
hell,
I missed this video.
So yeah, Jim Rutherford said that basically he didn't like doing deals to get over on people. He wanted the deals to be fair for both teams.
Mm-hmm. Eddie, you didn't see it on Twitter? It was tweeted out by, I think, was it Jason, right? Great follow, by the way. J_A155, yeah. I think is his name. Amazing. Great follow. I think he tweeted out the two clips, and you can go find them on his Twitter. I think it's through his media, and it was just – yeah, he was talking about, you know, he was like, you know, you're going to lose some trades. And some of the trades, it doesn't always work out that way or something like that. It was like, dude, like, I don't know what you're talking about with your deals,
I want to scream.
Yeah.
I've already screamed once. I think I already clipped my mic once on your show. I don't need to do it again.
Yeah, you got to, if you haven't listened to it, it's bad.
Matheson is, I've always hated, like, oh, a Tang should play forward. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know. This is probably the first player, other than maybe Brent Burns, mm-hmm. where I would look at somebody and go, they're playing the wrong position.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dude he can skate and he can move the puck and he can shoot it, but he can't play. I mean, I'm telling you, if you're the mindset, you're a Pens fan and you're like, Chris Letang sucks in his own zone. I mean, imagine that, but less offense and even worse is what Mike Matheson is. He just doesn't. And the thing about the most frustrating thing is you would maybe live with it if, like, his defensive errors, if he was putting up 30, 40, 50 point seasons, but he has 4 points in 17 games. So his offense, he doesn't even create enough offense to negate the defensive lapses.
Yeah, it's not nearly enough. And he had that 1 week stretch where it looked like he was turning the corner a little bit.
It looked like he was figuring it out. Yeah, remember he had that end-to-end play where it's like, man, is this dude like
that's always been his MO though. If you go read his things, you'll see in his scouting reports, shows flashes of brilliance. Well, he's in his mid-20s now. He was drafted in 2012. I mean, if a guy hasn't figured it out now by now, he's not going to.
Yeah. There was a better defenseman, I think, on their team to trade for, like Mackenzie Weegar or something was rumored to be available. Much better underlying
anything.
Numbers.
You could have got a banner. You could have got some workers for the stadium. Anything whatsoever would have been a better trade.
Yeah.
That was rough. I mean, and again, it's just for me, it was the contracts. Like I don't care.
More salary.
Yeah, like I don't care. Honestly, if you just dump Hornquist because of the salary, I get it. Like, I don't like it, but I get it.
Fifth round pick,
But to pull in more salary, that brings me to a question I wanted to ask earlier. You know, with the expansion draft, I mean, obviously, like, we've got to start looking at who they protect.
Seattle ain't taking Mike Patterson.
No, but do you do a situation? do you have a situation where? Where you sweeten the pot for them to try to get them to take
it. If you're smart, you do. Yeah, I mean, that's a contract.
That's the only way I see getting rid of that contract.
Matheson is under contract longer than any other player on the team.
Yeah, it's unreal.
The fact that he actually is under contract longer than, like, even Sidney Crosby is just insane. That's just actually –
it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, and you know, the main negative, you know, about the team right now, you know, closing up pretty soon, you know, the goaltending, I mean, what a turnaround that has been. I mean, I've been talking about this too, that the 16-game heater that Jari went on last year, that got him to the All-Star game. was 928, 930. Yep. Last 11 games, I think Jed tweeted it out, 8-3, 932 save percentage. It's like, where was – if they had that at the beginning of the season, Chad, they're probably in first place right now.
But that's the thing with goalies. Like, and you, Jesse, we were talking about goalies last week. To me, goalies are the hardest. When we do all these analyzations of players and teams, to me, goalies are the hardest. It's the hardest position in sports to me to analyze. It's so much mental. It's so much based on technique. That's what my worry was coming into the season. It's not that I didn't think that Tristan Jarry wasn't talented. It's not that I didn't think that he was going to be good or that good ever again. It's that I've been watching the sport for 30 years, and I know goalies. It's a role. Unless you have Dominic Hasek and a few other guys, it's like this. It's up and down and up and down. So then I was like, Tristan Jarry, okay, so you got a young goalie who had an all-star, but then he started to fall off, and then a journeyman backup. That's your goalie plan for the season. And I was like, man, I'd really like to have another veteran in there just so that when Jari's doing this, you had someone to bring it up. But then when Jari's doing that, you ride him. But this is proof, again, that good goaltending, this is what good goaltending does. It hides so many errors. They got outplayed so much in the third period the other night.
Oh, God.
And Tristan Jarry stood on his head and was like, nope, we won the game.
Yeah, you know, Chad and Eddie, someone was tweeting out, it looked like the 2008 Detroit Red Wings out there. How bad, how much the Rangers were. But, you know, Casey DeSmith, for as much people want to harp on him, he's actually been not bad this year.
I know what I mean. I just didn't think that tandem was – I didn't look at that tandem and go, oh, yeah, they're great there. Like,
I agree with that too, you know, but – I don't think there were many. I know Thomas Greiss was out there, but he went to Detroit. Lundqvist, that would have been hilarious. But there really weren't a lot of like tier two starters or 1B kind of guys. Because like Jacob Markstrom got paid, Braden Holtby got his cash. So many others were just like bona fide starters that hit the market. There wasn't like a lot of those.
Could have kept Matt Murray.
You know, bless his poor soul playing behind that Ottawa defense, because they are
bad.
Yeah, it is bad, you know. But, you know, just to finish up here, you know, of course, the Zoom call is getting close to running out. 10 minutes here, but, you know, we still have plenty of time. Do you guys see this team making the playoffs? Because I said second earlier on in the before this. I tweeted out last week, well, they're going to miss playoffs. They keep playing like this. And now they're four out of the last five. They keep playing amazing hockey. So I'm just going to ask you guys this. Do you think they make the playoffs, or – do you think they miss? And if you do think they're going to make it, what team do you have missing out?
Yeah, I think they make it. They've got a game in hand on the Islanders. They played the same amount of games as the Caps. But the thing with the Islanders and the Caps, if my memory serves me right, is they're starting to get into the difficult stretch of their schedule, where hopefully the Penguins are getting into the easier stretch of their schedule. So I actually think I've got them, you know, finishing second place in the division. And I actually think they're going to be behind Boston. I think it's going to go Boston, Penguins, Caps, and Islanders. I think the Flyers and the Rangers are the odd ones out.
I got Philly out too. I'm looking at Philly's schedule right now. In April, they have a back-to-back against the Islanders, then back-to-back against the Bruins. Then they have alternate between the Islanders, Bruins, and Capitals. And Carter Hart all of a sudden is starting to falter. I actually thought the Flyers were like, I think they're a year away, because they got a bunch of really, their prospect pool is crazy. So they're probably going to be much better next year. So I still have contested that Boston is the team to beat. I know right now they don't look like it, but they're always so good. They're always so well coached. And Marchand, Pasternak, and Bergeron is as good as a top three as you're going to find.
They've got three games in hand on the Islanders in early.
Yeah.
So I think that
Pittsburgh, I think, will finish third. That could change with two things. One, if Jason Zucker comes back and is actually more of what we saw last year, I think that is going to move the needle one way or the other. And then obviously Tristan Jarry is going to be the other X factor. If Tristan Jarry gives them even remotely like 9-15 plus goaltending the rest of the way, they probably could finish as high as second, because I think Crosby, Letang, Malkin, and Gensel are all starting to hit their strides right now. Yeah. But goaltending can sink a team more than anything. So a lot is riding on Jari, and hey, that's what they went with. That was what they wanted. They wanted to, you know, that's what they decided to do. So, and then the special teams is going to be a big factor too. Some nights, I know we talk about it on Twitter, man, some nights this power play, you go, well, wait a minute, what the hell? Where'd that come from? They're doing backdoor passes and cross creek passes. And then there's other nights where it's like, shoot the puck. And I hate being that guy. I don't like that guy, but sometimes it's kind of warranted.
Speaking of the playoff picture, at what point in time do the Islanders turn back into a pumpkin?
They're not, dude. They're the best coached hockey team I've ever seen. I'm not even trying to be hyperbolic.
The thing with them is, you know, people always want to ask, well, how are they in first place this year? They're 6-0 against the Sabres. I mean, you take that away. I think if you actually take all those, I saw Adam Gretz put this on Twitter. If you take their 6 wins away and then like the Washington and Philadelphia, I think they're a combined 14-1-1 against them, the standings would change. The Islanders would be the first team out. That is just how, like, they're kind of been more mediocre against the other teams. They're just beating up on the Sabres, then that's why they're in first. But I do agree, Barry Trotz, say what you want about
his style. Boy, is he something, man.
Say what you want about his style. It's a garbage product to watch.
When you look at that roster, Barzal is the only guy that you go, okay, yeah, that's a star. And then you got some guys like Eberle that are like, yeah, they're good. Yeah. They're like B-level players. But that's what they have, is like a team with one star and then a bunch of B, C, and D-level players. But Buffalo and New Jersey is an interesting point, because what should good teams do? Good teams should beat the teams that they're supposed to beat.
Yep.
So even though the Penguins' schedule is getting lighter, it's still going to be interesting, because Chris Letang was talking about this yesterday when the Penguins sent me the media files. He said sometimes it's harder to get up for those games, because in your mind you're going, this team is not good. They don't have Eichel, for God's sake. So it's like, we should win this game, but then all of a sudden a fluke goal goes in and this happens, and then now you're going, oh my God. So they have to prove, it's easy to say they should win these games. Can they do it? Can they consistently beat these teams? If they do, they might honestly push for the division title.
That's what I was thinking, honestly. Like, if they go like 7-1 against Buffalo, 7-1 against New Jersey, you're pushing for a division title. You've already beaten a lot of those teams at least half the time. Like the Islanders 4, Washington 4, the Rangers 5. You still have 3 left against.
And that's all you needed was to kind of wash with those teams.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly what they've done. You know, you knew they were going to play those teams tough. It's their biggest rivals. But
it's going to be interesting. It's good for the sport that this is going to be a 5-team race with one team getting out. That's gonna be fun to watch down the stretch, especially with a lot of these teams that I can't stand them.
it's been fun to watch every night, though. I'm rooting for it to go back to normal kind of for next season, because I'm done watching the Islanders play the Penguins 6 times in a season, and even the Capitals and the Rangers. It's just like, okay, I'll play you guys next year. I'm done at this point.
Yeah, it's enough.
But thank you both so much for coming on this episode.
Sure.
Both, where can everyone find you on social media?
Good, Eddie.
Eddie_P_412. That's pretty much all I've got. I mean,
412 Sports Talk on YouTube, Facebook, and Spotify, and then MadChad412 is all my social media. You'll find me on there. We'll definitely look forward to doing some more work with you. Like we said, we have a website coming now for the podcast. We're going to be putting out even more content outside of just the weekly podcast. So
yes, please go check out their stuff, guys. It is one of the best, sports talk podcasts.
Appreciate that, man. Especially coming from you. You've been doing this a while, and I mean, you're one of my go-tos for Penguin stuff, man. So I appreciate that, especially coming from someone like you.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, I always love to listen to all your episodes. Every guest that you guys bring on is just awesome. For God's sakes, you guys had the mayor, I think, on for one of your episodes.
That's trying to get him back.
Yeah.
Especially with things opening up now.
Yeah, that was incredible. But thank you all so much for listening to this episode, and we'll be back on Friday for another episode.